Okay, well, good morning. Happy Mother's Day to you all again. And I'm sure you, like me, were sitting there thinking, those with five or more kids, the mothers are indeed blessed just then. We know that parenting's difficult and having a lot of kids is even more difficult, but it's days like this that it pays off. I'm just kidding. And an interesting thing, Andy had to sit back there. He wasn't in his usual seat, so that brought a little bit of joy to my heart to see that. So, just kidding. An interesting story this morning, I snuggled into bed with Mark and we were talking. I said, Mark, today's Mother's Day. Today's a day where Mum gets to serve us. This is her special day. And I was kind of kidding with him and he goes, no, that's every other day. And he was dead serious. But sadly, that's true. Mums do serve us every other moment of the day. And it is Mother's Day. And we're going to focus on, I guess, a biblical perspective of mothers. We're going to give thanks to the Lord for who mothers are and what they are to us. And one lady throughout history, a lady by the name of Amy Carmichael, she was a missionary. A very young lady born into a wealthy Irish family. Amy was born in 1867. And she chose a very interesting pathway for the rest of her life. She gave up the riches. She gave up a healthy and comfortable, nice life to leave it all behind, to walk away, to go and live in India. Amy very quickly set up an orphanage. She poured herself into helping those who were, less privileged than she was. Her heart was for the gospel. She did love the Lord and sought to make disciples of all nations. And one interesting story is told of a young girl by the name of Prina. And this really kicked off Amy's desire for the lost, and particularly for young children. She became almost a mother to these young children. Prina arrived at Amy's door, this article wrote that I read, and Amy knew she could not send her back. The little girl would be beaten, even killed, if she returned. Amy could have, in fact, been charged with kidnapping her and could have actually been thrown into prison for this. So here is Amy. She didn't care. Here were these orphans who had no one. She took them in, and for 50 years, she spent 50 years giving her life to loving and caring for these orphans who had no one or nothing, whose lot would have been death or prostitution or suffering in some form. That was Amy. She had no kids of her own, no biological kids of her own, but she became a mother. She was known as Amma, which means mother. She became a mother to all of these wonderful, beautiful little Indian children who had no one else. And you know the interesting thing about Amy, and we could look at her and we could think, wow, what a great humanitarian. What a kind and charitable person to leave this life of wealth and prosperity to go and care for those less fortunate. We see that all the time, don't we? And we could commend her for that. But Amy's love and desire wasn't simply to be a humanitarian. It wasn't simply to help those who were less fortunate than her. Her desire, as I said before, was that they would be saved. She loved the Lord with all her heart, mind and soul. And her desire was, yes, to help these young children, but she was a woman of God. She was a woman who loved the Lord and desired first and foremost to give these young children, and in fact all people, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So she loved these children, not just with a humanitarian human love, but with a gospel-centered, God-originating love. She had a supreme love for them. So this morning, I want to take a few minutes to look at the two wonderful blessings that are available to mothers who love the Lord. Two wonderful blessings that I think we often at times overlook. So it would be good for us this morning to take a few minutes and to consider these two important truths that go together so well. Before we do, let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your goodness and your grace. And Father, I praise you and thank you that you have established and instituted mothers and fathers, parenting and marriage and families. What a wonderful blessing this is. And Father, we acknowledge and we know that society simply wouldn't function without parents, without families. It is of yourself and it is a wonderful blessing. Lord, we look at this whole idea and concept of parents teaching and guiding, of being a model, an example set, instructors, counsellors, and those who love with a great love. And Father, as we turn to your word this morning, as we consider these wonderful truths, I pray that you would open our hearts. I pray that you would impress these truths upon our hearts and minds so that we leave here this morning changed, all the more willing to live for you, all the more willing to take up our cross and lay our lives down. And Father, I pray for those here who are mothers. I pray that their desire after leaving here this morning, after having heard your word, will be to make their relationship with you a priority, that they will be the godly mother that you desire them to be. And Father, we want to thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace, and we ask for your blessing for us this morning. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Well, today is Mother's Day, as we've said. Today is a day for many which is filled with joy, and we've already celebrated that this morning. But for some, and for some of you, today is a hard day. Some of you have lost mums whom you've loved for many, many years, who have raised you and been there for you through the ups and downs of life. So today, for some, is also a hard day. And it's, in a sense, a day where the world stops and acknowledges mothers. We give praise to mothers for who they are, for what they have done. We know that they're not perfect, but we look on at mothers and we acknowledge the selfless sacrifice that is theirs. And we honour them for that, don't we? We don't honour mum simply because she has outstripped all other mums. She's better than everyone else. Our mum is unique for us, and we thank God for her, for a particular uniqueness. And one interesting thing about mums that stands out to us, and I know you'd agree with me, it's the selflessness that they have. It's the selfless love that they possess, where they put themselves last. Not first, but last. I made that joke before about my wife having to work today because it's Mother's Day. And Mark said every other day, mum has to work. And that's a reality. Mothers hold the fort together. You know, I also joked with someone this morning and said the reason why everyone was late this morning was because mum took the morning off. She put her feet up and dad and the kids served her. That's why nothing worked and everyone was late. And we know that to be true, don't we? We know that to be true. Mothers are a strong foundation in the family, and that's why we praise them. That's why we thank them for all that they do. You know, I can remember my own experience being an apprentice electrician some 20-odd years ago, waking up at 4:45 in the morning. Who was there with me? Mum. Right there, making me breakfast, driving me to the train station. That's mum. And I will never forget that. And I'm sure as you sit here, you're thinking through your own experience and thinking, that is my mum. And I know my own kids would be thinking similar things about their mum. We also grew up in an interesting time where my mum had to work two jobs. She'd spend the whole day working and then come home, take a bit of a break, and then she was off at night working another job just to put food on the table. We never forget those things, do we? We never, ever forget those things. Often if visitors came over, if there wasn't enough food, she would not eat dinner. She would go without so that the visitors could eat. And she'd say nothing about it. And you just watch her. That's selflessness. And that's what characterises mum. And, you know, we don't often realise the sacrifice they make until we actually grow up and become parents ourselves. And we look back and think, wow, they gave up so much. They went without for us. And the love that we look back upon becomes so great. So today is an opportunity for us to stop. And here this morning, we're looking at this from the Word of God. But in your families, in your homes, it's an opportunity to thank mum for all that she is and all that she does. But you know what? There is so much more to Mother's Day than this. There is so much more to the sacrifice that mothers make than this. And I hope to be able to encourage mothers this morning. I want to look at two wonderful blessings that mothers possess. And the first is this. Mothers possess a selfless, tender love that captures the heart. Now, I've just spoken of that. But mothers, because they are self-sacrificing, because they are so loving, they inevitably capture the hearts of their own children and their husbands at times and others. That is what self-sacrificing love does. That is why our mums have our hearts. And you know, it's almost impossible to not love the person who continually, day after day, lays their life down for you, puts you first, serves you first, thinks of you above themselves. It's impossible not to love that person, isn't it? And as we go along in church, we're going to see this in Philippians. Just a little plug here to keep listening to the Word of God on Sundays. We're going to see this in Philippians, where Paul tells the church to put off your own desires and instead regard others as being more significant and more important than yourselves. That is the key to loving one another. Paul actually understood this. Paul wrote Philippians. But in Thessalonians, and if you'll turn there with me, I want to show you that Paul understood this. He referred to his own love for the people in Thessalonica as he equated it to the love that a mother has for a nursing child. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we're looking at verse 7. And here we get this example of Paul capturing the heart of these people by his selfless love. He says here in verse 7, "But we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So, being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us." So Paul makes mention of this great self-sacrificing love that he has for those in Thessalonica. And what does he equate that love to? Something that they understood, something that everyone gets, that mothers have tender love for their children. Paul had captured their hearts by his love. You know what? Paul didn't simply run around giving people hugs or telling them that he was there for them and patting them on the back and giving them everything they needed. That wasn't the great love that Paul had. He wasn't just a great humanitarian who ran around meeting everyone's needs. That wasn't Paul, but he was like a nursing mother. Paul loved them with the love of Christ. He gave them what they most needed. He taught them the Word of God. He served them. His desire was for them to love Christ and to put Christ first. So he labored. He sacrificed. Think of 1 Thessalonians. You can turn there with me if you like. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And in verse 9, Paul gives us an idea of how it is that this love was so pointed and directed. And really, we can get a hold of this to understand that this is how we ourselves love in the same way. He says in verse 9, "For you remember, brothers, our labor and toil. We worked night and day." Why? "That we might not be a burden to any of you while we proclaim to you the gospel of God." See the point I'm trying to make here? Today is a day where we're praising mothers. Today is a day where we're giving thanks for their self-sacrifice. But to bring a biblical perspective is, it isn't self-sacrifice and love just for the sake of it. This love that we are called to do and we are called to have, that mothers are called to possess, is biblical. It's pointed, it's purposeful, it's intentional. It is to point others to Christ. It is to show our kids the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Like Amy Carmichael, this love wasn't simply a love for love's sake. She didn't just start this orphanage and leave it at that. It was intentional. It was purposeful. And her desire was to lead and draw others to Jesus Christ. You see that? On the one hand, just being loving and kind, that's great. And that's what the world does. And we see that all the time. But to take it a step further and to love with Christ's love, in a way that he's told us to love, is purer love, it's greater love, it's a supreme love. And you know, I was really encouraged by what Dave and Andy Cross had to say when they came, I think it was a couple of times before the last time, and Dave made this point. Dave and Andy Cross work for Zoe Foundation. They're based in Thailand. They rescue kids out of child sex trafficking, and it's a wonderful, noble work that they do, and I believe Dave was a sign writer here in the local area. He had a flourishing and prosperous business. He heard about all that was going on in Thailand, and they decided to sell up everything to go and rescue these kids. Now, what Dave said just a few months ago, or a year ago, I think it was this. He said, "I very soon realized that I was doing a great humanitarian work. We were rescuing kids. We were saving kids, and that was fantastic. We showed them this love. That was great. But then these kids, what would happen is they would grow up. They would become teenagers, older, almost adults. We'd give them jobs and education, and then they'd leave the place that they were and go off into the world. But these kids who they were helping, and this is Dave's words himself, walked away not knowing the Lord Jesus Christ." You see that? He immediately identified that as a problem. It's great that we're helping them, but these kids do not know the Savior. They do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. So they are leaving all restored and in good health and in a sound mind, but not knowing the Savior, heading off into a Christless eternity. So we very quickly realized we need to turn this around. Yes, we rescue kids, but our love, our parenting love of these kids must be intentional. We must couple with that the gospel of Christ. You see how that works? And the same is true for mothers. It's a great blessing and a great honor to be a mother as well as it is a father. It's great to have a sphere of influence in which you can bless others and encourage others, but it has to be purposeful. It has to be intentional. And that leads us to our second point, and that is this. Because we have the heart, because mothers have their children's hearts, their husbands' hearts, because that is the case, then mothers can influence, guide, and impress that which is good, right, and honouring upon those people. You see that? There is such a great opportunity. You have your kids' attention. They're with you all the time. They're looking on. They're watching. They're listening. You're teaching, whether you realise it or not. You are influencing them in a profound way. And you know what? The power of influence is so profound. It is so great. Paul understood this. 1 Thessalonians 1:6. Turn there with me if you will. Paul talks about the fact that a whole group of believers in Thessalonica were changed and transformed. God didn't just zap these people and they were changed. They didn't just wake up one morning and say, "We love the Lord and we are totally committed to Him." There is a specific process through which this happens. Look at the verse. Paul says this: "You know what kind of men we prove to be among you for your sake." So there's the example. Integrity, love, kindness, self-sacrificing love, teaching, modelling all of this. "You know what kind of men we proved to be among you." Now listen to this. "And you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit." And you can read down further. And you can see how the Thessalonians, these believers, their influence was known to everyone. Their faith was strong. Their love for the Lord was equally as deep and rich. And it was because Paul was influential in their lives. He set himself up as someone to be followed, someone to model their lives after. So we could say that a mother's greatest gift isn't praise and honour, but the most precious gift that a mother is given is this. It's the opportunity to be used by God to model and influence a soul towards Christ. And you hear that and you think, yeah, that makes sense. Because it does, doesn't it? It's logical. We would love to have our neighbour come to us and say, "Andy, can you tell me the gospel? I just want to know about this salvation thing." Every Christian, when they hear that, their ears prick up. But then we have all of these children under our care, with us all the time. We have the most profound opportunity to influence these young souls for Christ. And I would say this, with influence comes great responsibility, and it's a challenge, isn't it? And there's no way of getting around this. You cannot help but be an influence because of the position you have as a parent. It's kind of scary, because what I've seen in life is that kids become like parents. And you can look at your own kids. What you love, they will naturally love. What you talk about, they talk about. What you hate, they hate. What you are drawn to, they are drawn to. That's just the way it works. I remember years ago talking to a friend and the young kid was speaking really rudely and the mum goes, "Well, I've no idea where that came from." And I'm thinking, "I do." You say the same thing. But that's what happens, isn't it? That's what happens. We can be an influence for good, but also an influence in a negative way. I love this quote by J.C. Ryle, a famous Christian man of God. He says this, "Fathers and mothers," now listen to this, "fathers and mothers, do not forget that children learn more by the eye than they do by the ear," right? Children learn more by the eye than they do by the ear. Imitation is a far stronger principle with children than memory. What they see has a much stronger effect on their minds than what they are told. Isn't that so true? And how much more today when we're all visual, when we don't read much or listen much, we just watch. How much more is it the case today? And then you think about this. If influence comes from watching and modelling, then as parents and mothers, we're talking to you today, we'll leave dads alone, but mothers, and it includes fathers, but mothers, your responses to life, your attitudes, your desires, bitterness, grumbling, complaining, all the joy of the Lord, faithfulness, praise, thanksgiving, kindness to your husband, kids are watching on and kids are learning. You see that? What a challenge. What a challenge. What a massive challenge. This power of influence is great and weighty. And I want you to think about this. Mark, my son, was up here and he read from Deuteronomy 6, the Shema. Well known. It's instruction to parents. And some of the boys also read, and Lauren, some other great verses instructing parents to teach their kids. And we know all those verses. And we can logically say, well, of course, you have to teach your kids right from wrong. You have to teach them to do this, to do that. The passage in Deuteronomy is profound because it says, teach them when? Not just Thursday nights at 9 p.m. when you sit down, when you rise, when you walk by the way. It's the whole idea of having a living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a relationship with God, where God is in every single thing you do. And as a family, we do not make a decision without seeking God's face. Everywhere we go, it's about God. And kids are watching on. And kids very quickly learn. Yes, they learn the instruction, but kids are also learning, you know what? Mum and dad cannot make a move without seeking God's face. Mum and dad need God for every little thing. I must do the same. Now think of this the other way, and you know what I'm going to say. The mum or the dad who doesn't make prayer a priority, who isn't in the Word, who doesn't bring God into everything, or maybe it's the God of Sunday only. The kids are watching on. What will then become a priority for those kids? Well, we can do X, Y, and Z, and we don't actually need God. We don't need to focus on God. And it's actually building a hardness of heart into our kids, into those people who are watching on. You see how that works? It's kind of passive teaching. It's passive communication. And we just look at the active side, don't we? We just think we instruct them or we don't instruct them by not doing what is right, by not making God our love, our delight, our desire, our all-consuming passion. We are telling kids that it's okay to just live however you want and not put God first. Isn't that amazing to think through? And I think it would do us well to think through that and examine our lives. And that's a huge challenge. And maybe for you today, you're sitting here thinking through that. I hope you, like I, will go away and really ponder that and then have a look at my life and say, okay, are there things that I need to change? Because the decisions that we make or don't make will cost us one day. They will. So on the one hand, we have to be careful of the example that we set. On the other, what a positive thing, what a great encouragement to know that my love for the Lord, my kids are watching and they're learning from. And I wonder if you were to think back and when you leave this life as a parent to go to the next and your kids are remembering you as a parent, what will they remember you for? Mum was a prayer warrior. Mum was a woman of the word. Mum was faithful. Mum was just a nice person. You see how this works? Wouldn't you want to be known for being a woman of God, like Hannah and those women who we mentioned up the front, Elizabeth and so on? Wouldn't you love that testimony that Mum was known as a prayer warrior? When Mum prayed, things happened. I'm blessed to say that I believe I have that in my home. It's a wonderful testimony, and it's teaching kids this immense, massive priority to model Christ and to live for Christ. What a challenge. And so we look at life and we think, okay, what do my kids need? How can I best love them? And logically, we meet kids' needs. We wake up each day and we think, okay, we'll get breakfast ready. We'll get them clothed. We'll get them dressed. We'll make lunch. We'll make dinner. We get into the scheme of things. We'll go to their sporting events and we'll go to this with them. But is prayer, is a walk with the Lord where we get our strength from as a parent? You see that? It's not just the modelling part. It's also you as a parent becoming more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Because they will see Christ in us only when Christ is in us. See how that works? We will only be like Christ to them when Christ is dwelling in us, when he is fully consuming us, when we are filled with him. That's how this works. So the temptation for us as parents and dads as well is to run around after kids, is to think that a good parent is doing X, Y, and Z. The priority must be first and foremost to be a man and a woman of God. Everything depends upon it. Abiding in Christ, having a relationship with Christ so that your prayers will be answered. Because when you walk well with the Lord, you can't help but speak of him. When you are close and intimate and passionate with Christ, you will want your kids to know him, but you take that away and you as a parent don't abide, you won't talk much about Christ. You probably won't pray much for your children. And all of a sudden, there is this dullness that creeps into the family. That's what happens. There's another side to this as well. We talk about the love that parents have, and it's a Christ-centered love that we are to have. The source and substance from where that great, profound love comes is God. And so you might be sitting here this morning and saying, well, I'm not a parent, and perhaps you have lost a loved one, and you feel like there is no one to turn to. There is one who loves you infinitely more than anyone ever will, and that is God. God reveals himself in the Word of God as the perfect parent. The one who not only knows what is best for us, but he also does everything that is for our good. You see that? That is God. He is the one we are to turn to. He is the father of the fatherless. The scripture tells us in Psalm 24:1 that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all those who dwell therein. And that is the point to this. God has created every single human being. We are actually his possession. He is our heavenly father. Some people choose to not place themselves in his care. They choose to push him away, to reject him. And that is the call for all of us here this morning, is that God is a God of love and he wants restoration to occur. He wants to be reconciled with you if you are not reconciled with him. That is the gospel call. His desire as creator is that none of his creation go to a lost eternity in hell. Our sins cause us to be in a place where we're children of wrath, where we deserve his judgment. But God sent his son to be the atonement, the sacrifice for sins, taking our place, suffering in a place that we should have suffered, dying on the cross so that we might be forgiven and reconciled to him. So I want to just bring this around back to Christ and back to the Lord. Yes, we're talking about mothers, but there is our Father in heaven who will love us more than anyone ever will. I want to just close by reading John 3:16 to 18, a well-known set of verses. John 3:16 says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Jesus is the only way to the Father. Jesus is the only way to salvation. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through him. And logically, to refuse that offer and that invitation of salvation through the hand of Christ is to cut off the only way to be reconciled to the Father. The Father's intention, Jesus' initial coming, was not to condemn the world, but to save the world. And his appeal to the lost through believers is that you would be reconciled to God, restored to your heavenly Father. He is the perfect parent who loves the lost, and we see that in the sending of his Son. So I trust that this morning's message has encouraged you, but also challenged you, as particularly as mothers, to think through the blessing that you have in terms of influence, but also the responsibility that as a mum, you have to ensure that your influence isn't just being mum at home, doing everything for the kids. It's being the woman of God who influences both her kids and her husband towards Christ's likeness. May all of you be blessed. May all of your children remember their mum and their dad as men and women of God. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you that you are love and that your desire is to save the lost. Your desire is to have your creation reconciled back to you. And Father, I would pray for any here this morning who have not turned to you for salvation, who have not come to you for life, who are stubbornly refusing you, who are pushing you away. I pray that today would be the day of salvation where they repent and turn to you for life. And Father, I pray for any here this morning who are grieving, who are mourning, who feel lost, who feel as though they have no one to turn to. I pray that they would turn to you, the great parent, the good parent, the faithful Father. I pray that you might minister to souls and bring comfort and peace. And Father, for mothers here this morning, it's a great opportunity, Lord, to thank you for establishing the family unit, for producing mothers, and not just mothers in a secular sense, but mothers who are committed to you, mothers who desire your will, who want to be women of God, like the godly women of old that we read of in Scripture. I pray for all the wonderful mums here this morning and the mums to be. And Father, I ask that you would continue to grow and strengthen them, that they may be mighty women of God. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.